morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking Packers football. We're talking Morgan Burnett today. Going to talk about him quite a bit. To do that, we have a special guest joining us on the line. As part of our continuing series featuring the writers at allgreenbaypackers.com, we have Jason Perrone joining us on the phone this morning. Jason, how you doing?
I am doing fantastic. It's Friday.
TGIF. Yes, it is Friday. Jason joins us all the way from Arizona this morning. It's an early wake-up call for him out there on the West Coast. Jason, thanks for, you know, agreeing to do this early at what I'm assuming is like 6:30 a.m. out there. But, you know, for those of us who don't know you, don't follow you on Twitter maybe, tell us a little bit about yourself and how does a Packers fan live in Arizona?
Well, I was actually born outside of Chicago, but at a very young age, my family moved up to the Milwaukee area, and that's really where most of my formative years were spent. As soon as Brett Favre came to Green Bay, it was all over from there, and then a series of fortunes brought us out to Arizona probably a little over 20 years ago, and of course, once a cheesehead, always a cheesehead. So I've always enjoyed the Packers, and I enjoy writing. So about a year ago, I joined Jersey Al's team as a freelance writer on his blog, and I have a blast doing it. And when the season starts, I think if we keep our normal rotation, I'll probably continue doing the Around the NFC North preview during the week and then the keys to the game on game day. So I'm looking forward to that.
Very cool. Well, you guys do a great job over there. The news of the day yesterday was all about Packers safety Morgan Burnett, so I want to spend a little bit of time talking about him. The word from Jason LaCanfora of CBS Sports is that the Packers and Burnett are working on a contract. Jason, there's a lot of players entering contract years for the Packers, you know, among them, B.J. Raji, Sam Shields, James Jones, JerMichael Finley, Evan Dietrich Smith. Where does Burnett rank among these players? How much of a priority is he?
You know, it was interesting. Everybody, I think, thought Raji was going to be next on the list, and it seems like the team is going to let Raji play this year out and see what they have in him after bringing in Dayton Jones and take a look at how maybe Mike Daniels steps up and C.J. Wilson, some of those other guys. So, but if you think about it, the Burnett signing really makes a lot of sense because at the other safety position now, it's kind of still a question mark. Is it going to be Jaron McMillan? Is it going to be M.P. Jennings? I personally think it'll be McMillan, but the bigger point is I don't think Ted Thompson's going to bring in a veteran, so it's going to be one of those two guys. Well, they're both pretty young and inexperienced, so it makes sense to bring Burnett back, who's taken a lot of strides over these past 2 years after missing most of his rookie season. He's really kind of turned into one of the steadier players on the team. He led the team in tackles last year. So, you know, when you step back and take a look at it from that perspective, I think it makes a whole heck of a lot of sense. You know, that the team also lost Charles Woodson, which I think it was time for that to happen, but there goes a big chunk of that leadership, and I do think Morgan Burnett is the type of player that is going to really evolve into that leadership role, so couldn't have been a better choice, and really excited to hear that he's going to be calling shots back there for at least a couple more years.
What do you think about Morgan Burnett's effectiveness as a player? Where does he stand among safeties in the NFL? Obviously, he's probably going to get a nice contract. I don't know if it'll be, you know, one of the top in the entire league. But where do you think he stacks up among other safeties in the NFL? Is he among the best players in the league at his position?
Well, you know, I don't think he's top five. And I'd have to think to name that top five. But he's got that potential. And I know we throw the P word around all the time, but what we've seen the last 2 years indicates that he's got a good work ethic. He stays on the field. Even when he was injured in 2011, he was wearing that club on his hand. He was still able to play. So he's shown that durability, which is something that you need in the safety. And, you know, like I said, if he takes that jump again and really comes into his own this year, then we may be having a conversation about him being maybe a top five guy at this same time next season. But I would say he's probably within the top 10. You know, the Packers by nature play a lot of nickel. They're playing against the pass a lot. It's a pass-heavy league. And then you throw in the fact that you've got two prolific passers in Jay Cutler and Matt Stafford in the division. So your secondary is very important. And, again, that's one of the reasons why I think Ted Thompson made Burnett's signing a priority.
In other contract news earlier this week in the NFL, Victor Cruz of the New York Giants, wide receiver, received a contract extension there in New York. And kind of people have been connecting the dots, I think, between Cruz and then the Packers' own slot receiver, Randall Cobb. You know, he's got 2 years left on his deal, but, you know, when do you think Randall Cobb gets his own contract extension?
Well, I'll start this off by saying that Randall Cobb, one of the reasons I think Ted Thompson picked Randall Cobb is because he really discovered that Cobb's got that Packer people mentality. He buys into the team concept. He's a hard worker. You know, he's a good young kid. He's developing. He's learning the game. He's maturing. I don't think it's imminent, but Cobb is obviously going to become one of the cornerstones of this offense as long as he stays healthy and productive. This year is going to be the telltale. If he has a huge season and breaks out and becomes the number one, the go-to guy now that Greg Jennings is gone, I think it's very possible at this same time next year we may be talking about contract discussions between the Packers and Cobb. He's definitely going to be somebody that they're going to have to focus on in the future. He may even leapfrog some of those other guys that are due at the end of this year.
Yeah, that certainly is an interesting thought that he could do that. I mean, a lot's going to depend on his 2013 performance, I think, but the future's bright for Randall Cobb. We're talking to Jason Perrone of AllGreenBayPackers.com here at Railbird Central. Jason, one of the bigger stories yesterday in the media, an article at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel or its website, JS Online, was about Clay Matthews taking on a leadership role. As we said, Charles Woodson's gone now. Does Clay Matthews, he's obviously a good player, but does Clay Matthews strike you as a leader?
Interesting question, because by nature of the style of play that he brings every single day, I would say yes, if only by example alone. But listening to him when he talks to the media, again, another guy who gets it. He understands the team concept. He doesn't point to himself all the time. He plays flashy, but he's not an overly flashy type of guy. When you think about some of the me receivers like to get Terrell Owens or someone that knows that they're one of the top dogs on the team.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't see a lot of Clay Matthews in the locker room, so we don't know what kinds of things he's saying. But I'll use this example. Last year at training camp when Nick Perry was brought in, there were quite a few instances where I would follow on Twitter to see how the practices were going. Obviously in Arizona, I don't have a lot of access to that. And I would hear and see a lot of Nick Perry standing next to Clay Matthews, picking his brain. Those are the kinds of things that tell me that Clay Matthews is a leader and was very worthy of the contract extension that he got. He, much like Cobb and Aaron Rodgers, obviously is a cornerstone of this team, and I think he understands that.
Jason, one more question here before we let you go. Making news yesterday, former Packers center Frank Winters and a buddy of former Packers quarterback Brett Favre called his teammate there, Favre, one of the five best players in NFL history. I thought this was a little bit interesting. Tell me, Jason, is Brett Favre really one of the five best players in NFL history?
I think Brett Favre might be one of the top five players most fun to watch in NFL history. But if you want to talk about all-time players, I think we'd probably be hard-pressed to put him in that grouping. You know, it's very common to see players who played together and achieved a lot of success. Obviously, Winters was the center on that Super Bowl 31 championship team, ending the 30-year championship drought in Green Bay. So there's a lot of emotional connection there, and hey, I don't blame Frank Winters for saying what he said, but I think, you know, if you really asked him and he had to think about it, he probably would have to pause and think a little bit longer about it. But, you know, it's much like, you know, we talked to William Henderson a while back on All GPP. We had a conversation with him. We asked him, because that was right about when the news broke that the team was starting to try to mend fences with Favre a little bit, and he had great things to say about Brett Favre, and he was still calling Brett his quarterback. So like I said, those guys form that emotional connection. They play together. You know, you win a Super Bowl, and that tends to kind of etch your teammates in your mind as the top echelon.
I'm right there with you. I think he's on the list of the top five most exciting players ever, although I'm not sure he's on the list of the top five best ever. So I'm kind of right in that same boat with you. But Jason, I appreciate you joining us this morning all the way from Arizona. It was great to talk to you, and we'll do it again sometime.
Sounds great. Thanks a lot, Brian.
All right, take care. Jason Perrone of allgreenbaypackers.com joining us here at Railbird Central this morning. Glad to have him joining us, and glad to have you, the listener, joining us as well as we continue our discussion here this morning. Going to talk more about Morgan Burnett and his prospective deal with the Green Bay Packers. Nothing is done. Nothing is, I don't know if anything's imminent. It kind of, from the sounds of it, it kind of sounds like this thing's going to get done. But again, that's just a little bit of guessing on my part. Like I said, nothing is for sure in the works here. No deal has been inked that I'm aware of, at least, unless it just happened and it just hasn't been reported yet. But anyway, the word from Jason LaCanfora of CBS Sports is that the Packers and Morgan Burnett are working on a long-term contract extension. And you know, there's a couple ways to look at this, and Jason Perrone kind of alluded to it there earlier, in that I think a lot of people thought that maybe B.J. Raji would be the next guy to get the contract extension from the Packers, just because, you know, he's a first-round draft choice, he's a big name. He was represented by the same agent as Aaron Rodgers and Clay Matthews. You kind of add all those things together, and you thought, you know, maybe Rodgers the next in line. And while I do think that the Packers need to come to a contract extension with B.J. Raji, you know, I think he's, even though maybe he hasn't lived up to his billing as the ninth overall draft choice, B.J. Raji's heart, you know, far from a bust in the NFL, as one Twitter user kind of argued with me yesterday a little bit about the effectiveness of B.J. Raji. I just kind of shook my head. He's still a very good NFL player, just maybe not an elite one, at least at this point. And B.J. Raji is still young. I think he's only like 26 years old. So I think he is the number one priority for the Packers to get a deal done with here coming up very soon. I just think that, you know, B.J. Raji has said he'll wait. You know, what are the Packers waiting for? Well, it takes two to tango. You can't force B.J. Raji to sign a contract if he doesn't want to. Maybe B.J. Raji wants to play the year out, knowing, hey, if I have a good season, I can make a lot more money. I can test free agency, which is, you know, whether I get this contract with the Packers or another team, it can only boost his value, perhaps. And even if B.J. Raji has just another average season, you know, somebody out in the NFL is going to give him a nice contract offer. Again, maybe not an elite contract offer, but B.J. Raji next year, no matter who he would sign with, is going to get millions and millions of dollars. Mark my words, unless he, you know, suffers some catastrophic injury or something like that. But anyway, kind of, you know, taking the long way around here, but as I kind of talking in circles a little bit, but, you know, getting back to Morgan Burnett, I had made a list back in, actually, it was late April, not too long after the NFL draft, a list, a countdown kind of, or a list of the top Packers extension priorities post Aaron Rodgers and Clay Matthews, after they had gotten their extensions. You know, who were the priorities after that? Number one on the list was B.J. Raji. Would I still feel that way? But number two on the list, I listed Morgan Burnett. And I think maybe some people kind of were surprised a little bit that Morgan Burnett being so high in the list when there's other guys out there like James Jones, Jermichael Finley, Evan Dietrich Smith, Sam Shields, all those guys, you know, entering contract seasons. And here I had Morgan Burnett number two, and I still feel that way as well. You know, Morgan Burnett, and a lot of it has to do with Morgan Burnett playing at a position that the Packers don't have a lot of depth at. If you were to tell me the thinnest position on the Packers roster, I think a lot of people would say safety. And you know, that's maybe not an endorsement of Morgan Burnett, but more, you know, what would they do without him? You know, he's the best of a very thin group that, and you know, beyond Morgan Burnett, the next two options are Jerron McMillan and MD Jennings at safety. And while those guys have potential in them, they haven't really done anything in the NFL, or very little at least, in their playing time they've received early in their careers. Beyond that, we're talking practice squad players. So, there's not a whole lot of safeties in Green Bay. I do think Morgan Burnett is an emerging young player. There is a lot of things to like about his game. People will point to he last year led NFL safeties in tackles. I believe Morgan Burnett had something like 120 plus tackles last season, the official statistics is kept by the NFL. So there's that. He's making a lot of tackles. And then another thing people will point to is he played every snap on defense last season. He was one of only two defensive players in the entire NFL, the other being Rams linebacker James Laronitis, who played every single snap on defense last season. So that there's something to be said about that. He stayed healthy. You remember going back to Morgan Burnett's rookie season in the NFL. He had that season-ending ACL injury, but ever since that time, you know, he's been staying fairly healthy. Remember, he had to play with a club cast for a while, but he played through it. He had a broken finger, I think, or thumb, and that was two seasons ago. But you know, staying healthy, and I could see Jersey El Bracco checking in our live blog this morning here, and he says Burnett took a huge step last year, and he did. I think one of the most impressive things about Morgan Burnett is that he has become good in the box. I can remember his rookie year. He was the type of guy who was very tentative. He wasn't all that aggressive. He would make mistakes when he would come down and try to tackle. It was kind of one of those things where he was comfortable in pass coverage his rookie year, but he wasn't a physical presence whatsoever. I can remember watching him in training camp, and then you know during the preseason and the few games that he played in before he went down injured back in 2010, and that was the type of player we saw, very hesitant. But he has come so far since that time. He is now a pretty good in-the-box player, almost to the point where that is now his strength over his pass coverage. It is kind of interesting that he kind of came into the NFL as kind of with a reputation as a ball hawk in college, during his college days at Georgia Tech. Type of guy who would grab a lot of interceptions. And what's interesting is we haven't really seen that at the pro level from Morgan Burnett. And I think he has the ability to. I think he's very rangy. I think that's one of his strengths, that he can get from, you know, from the hashes to the sideline and things like that. He kind of does have a little bit of that closing speed. He's not a speed demon,
but he's smart enough that he takes good angles and he can, you know, make the proper plays, and he doesn't let people get behind him. He knows enough of when to turn those hips and run and things like that. So I think that's there, but we haven't seen Morgan Burnett become a ball hawk. He had two interceptions only last season. And for a guy who played every single freaking snap last year, let's see a couple more interceptions, Morgan. All right? It's a little bit coming from the peanut gallery here, and I'm sure if Morgan Burnett was listening to the show, he would be just shaking his head, and he's like, who is this guy, you know, telling me to grab more interceptions? I think he does have to. In fact, now, Morgan Burnett's best game last season, the 2012 season, you might remember this, the week the Packers hosted the Minnesota Vikings, week 13, Morgan Burnett grabbed two interceptions that game. But his best game of the year, he probably received a game ball. I don't even remember, but I wouldn't doubt it. That in fact, if I remember right, that was the game that Adrian Peterson ran all over the Packers, over 200 yards. But the Packers still came away with the victory, partially due to Morgan Burnett forcing a couple interceptions in the secondary. But the point I'm trying to get to, he had two interceptions that game. Morgan Burnett had two interceptions the entire season. Take away that one game, and Morgan Burnett's season doesn't look quite as good anymore. Take away that one game, and he has not really all that great. He's okay. I'm not, calling Morgan Burnett the worst player in the NFL. He's kind of been an average NFL safety to above average. I guess I just expect more out of him and hoping for more out of him. But the Packers kind of stuck between a rock and a hard spot. I mean, they can't really afford to let Morgan Burnett go. I mean, can you imagine where the Packers would be if they were to let Morgan Burnett test free agency next year and he happened to sign somewhere else? It's almost hard to fathom, because I don't think the Packers will A, let that happen. I'm not sure if I have a B, but I don't see the Packers letting that happen, because, you know, then you're going into 2014 with Jerron McMillan and MD Jennings, and then any rookie you might draft at the safety position. I still think it's hard to believe the Packers did not draft a safety at some point during the draft this year. Not that they had to spend a first round or an early round around a safety, but they had 11 picks. You would have thought that some point over the course of 11 picks, they would have taken another safety, if for nothing else than depth purposes, even if it was a late round draft choice. I just think that's such a thin position on the Packers team right now. They could be in a whole heap of trouble if Morgan Burnett were to get injured this year. But we'll knock on wood there. One interesting article I found on the internet, thanks to Cheesehead TV's own Zach Cruz for tweeting this out, article from SpotTrack, SpotTrack.com. They're the organization that kind of monitors contracts for professional athletes. And they wrote a whole post about Morgan Burnett since this news came out and made a prediction of the deal Morgan Burnett will get. And their prediction is 4 years, $32 million. So there you go. 4 years, $32 million for Morgan Burnett. They predict that the guaranteed money he will get is $16 million, and his average annual salary would be just north of $8 million, $8 million and change, average per year. So if that's what you're, you know, just to give you an idea of what Burnett's, you know, deal might look like here coming up. When it gets done, I'm not really sure, but there you go. Is it good? The Packers have the salary cap space, I think, to come to a deal with one more contract extension before the start of this season. You know, right now they have $16 million approximately in salary cap space. And, you know, some of that money is going to go to Dayton Jones, who still hasn't signed his contract yet. But, you know, it's inevitable that he will at some point. Dayton Jones is going to get his, you know, he'll make a couple million dollars or whatever it is that, you know, the you know, slotting system has in store for the where he was picked at in the NFL draft. But regardless, that, you know, NFL rookies don't make that much unless you're in the top 10 of the draft. So there will still be plenty of money left over. You know, there will still be 13-14 million in salary cap space left open to the Packers this year. And you know, it's different than years past in that you can carry over salary cap space from year to year. So, you know, if the Packers weren't to sign any more contracts, they could carry over that 13-14 million to next year and use it then. So, you know, it will get used eventually, but I just think, you know, why not extend somebody now? You've got so many guys between Burnett, Shields, Raji, EDS, Jones, Finley, all these guys and more, you know, there's six big names right there. Why not, you know, just have the security of at least one more of them, you know, under contract, one more guy you don't have to worry about leaving in free agency. I think you do that now, and it provides both the player and the team with a little bit of security. So I think there's, you know, it would be good to do that if you're the Green Bay Packers. And I think Morgan Burnett, you know, I've said this before, if any one of those six players wants to sacrifice a little bit of money for a little bit more of security, they'll be the first ones to get a deal done. You know, if they want to sacrifice money for security, I'm sure the Packers would be all about it. You remember a few years ago, Jordy Nelson did that. He sacrificed money for security, and it's amazing the deal the Packers got with him. And I think if I'm correct, Jordy Nelson only signed a 3-year deal. You know, I think a lot of second-time contracts are 4- and 5-year deals. So, you know, he will be able to hit free agency once again and maybe hit it big. Jordy Nelson will. But still, the Packers definitely got a steal there. And you know that Jordy Nelson will be looking to make more in the next contract he signs. But anyway here, man, spent the majority of today's show talking about Morgan Burnett and his upcoming deal. Haven't even really gone to too many more topics out there. I don't have time to talk about it, I do want to point you to an article in the Green Bay Press Gazette, I think written by Wes Hodkowitz, about offensive lineman Josh Sitton. Good article on how Sitton has now become the elder statesman among offensive linemen in Green Bay. Which is almost hard to believe because Josh Sitton is still relatively young. You know, they've kind of, for quite a while, kind of had guys you always thought of and looked up to as veterans, you know, for so many years. Mark Tauscher, Chad Clifton, Jeff Saturday, all those guys, you know, were during the Super Bowl season, you know, that time period. At least I realized Jeff Saturday wasn't around then, but, you know, older guys, veterans, leaders. You kind of always thought of them as the gray beards, and now Josh Sitton at what is Josh Sitton, 28 maybe, being the, you know, elder statesman on the Packers offensive line. Good article, go read that. But it's already past 9 o'clock. Thanks for joining us on a Friday morning here at Railbird Central, folks. We'll be back again on Monday. We'll be continuing our series with the writers at allgreenbaypackers.com. And we'll see you later, folks. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Kirvu. I leave you this Friday with a song called, if I can find it here, a song called Tinderbox by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. We'll see you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.